You are listening to The Phoenix, where science is stranger than fiction. We will discover both the enigmatic and absurd side of science, including biology, the animal kingdom, and even the paranormal.
Hey there, everybody. This is your host, The Phoenix. Of course, this is a podcast where we look at the stranger side of science. As always, I do want to thank you for listening. And if any of you have the chance, you can check out my website at www.blazingtalons.com. It's a supplement to my podcast where I put up weekly posts. And you can also find my previous 6 podcast episodes. Now, the last show, we dealt with the reincarnation of Jeffrey Keane, who apparently was a Civil War general by the name of John Gordon in a past life. If you want to, you can take a look at Jeffrey Keane's website. That one's www.confederateyankee.net. You can learn more about the book he wrote called Someone Else's Yesterday. And Jeffrey Keane actually emailed me concerning my podcast. He was very happy with it, and he hopes that all of you will take a listen and take a listen with an open mind. Now, in this episode, it's a continuation of that theme. I meet with Kelly Shrimp, who is a licensed hypnotherapist, and I actually engage in my own past life regression therapy session. So, very interesting. We talk about hypnosis in general, and in the process of being hypnotized, I uncover 3 of my alleged, past lives. But first, we'll just start with some science news real quick. And whether you're sitting down at your computer or listening in your car, maybe you're sweating on the stepper, I do hope you enjoy episode 7 of the Phoenix Podcast, where science is always stranger than fiction.
Science news.
So much news, so little time. This is a really packed show. 26 minutes is not enough. And so we only have time for just one science news bit here. Out of Los Angeles, as reported by Live Science, officers seized more than 100 pet rats, a bunch of rabbits and a bunch of other animals, from the home of an 81-year-old woman who was treated in a hospital for what appeared to be animal bites. It just seems every month there's some sort of wacky story of some old lady who has, you know, like 3,000 cats or something in her house. But, you know, I probably should do an episode on this psychological disorder. But anyway, the woman had no food in the house for herself and seemed disoriented, said Annette Ramirez, who is an officer with the city's Animal Services Department. What they found was... what did they find? They found 120 rats, 25 rabbits, 6 parakeets, a dog, a quail, a cockatiel, and a partridge in a pear tree. No, just kidding. But the woman was identified as Wanda Langstrom, who was overwhelmed by how quickly the rats reproduced, Ramirez says. She said it just started with 2, but it got out of hand. Gee, you think?
That would be some kind of scientist, building inventions in my space lab in space. I'll end world hunger, I'll make dolphins speak. Work through the daytime, spend my nights and weekends perfecting my warrior robot race. Building them one laser gun at a time. I will do my best to teach them about life and what it's worth. I just hope that I can keep them from destroying the earth. There's gonna be the future soon. I won't...
Good day, Mr. Phoenix. I am looking for a man they call Bob. You interviewed him a year ago concerning his being abducted by aliens. I found your series of articles very interesting, and I would very much like to apprehend, I mean, find him. He and I are old friends, actually, but Bob has suddenly disappeared, and I cannot find him. Do you know his whereabouts?
No one is going to buy this.
Silence!
You so sound like an alien. You should have used your voice synthesizer like I said.
Shut up or else. So, Mr. Phoenix, please call me back at... What is this cell phone's number again?
Oh, great. That's real slick.
I said shut up. You see this anal probe right here, huh?
All right, I'm scared. Hello, I don't have an anus.
I'm going to make you one.
Building them one laser gun at a time. I will do my best to teach them about life and what it's worth. I just hope that I can keep them from destroying the earth.
Reincarnation. Past lives. Life after death. What does it all mean? This has been a topic that has been a personal interest of mine for quite a long time, and I finally summoned enough courage to become hypnotized. I didn't really know much about hypnosis, and so before going under, I wanted to ask some questions about hypnosis in general. And what you're about to hear is the interview I had with Kelly Shrimp, who is a certified hypnotherapist, and she's the one who performed the hypnosis session on me. But first, I sat down with Kelly and asked her some questions about hypnosis. So, I'm here with Kelly, and Kelly is a certified hypnotherapist?
Yes.
So in general terms, you know, what is hypnosis? What is it?
In general terms, hypnosis is a heightened state of awareness and concentration coupled with relaxation. And when I say relaxation, it's relaxation of the mind. And here, therapeutically, we always start out relaxing the body because it helps for the mind to follow suit and to relax, and it helps you transition into a hypnotic state. But in general terms, we only need the mind to be relaxed to go into a state of hypnosis.
So as far as a state of hypnosis, what are the different types of hypnosis? I've heard of deep and shallow hypnosis.
Okay. Well, I don't call them different types of hypnosis. I call them different levels of hypnosis. So you could say there's a deeper level versus a shallow level. I call it deep versus a light level. There's five different levels of hypnosis, from the alert state all the way down to what we call hypnotic sleep. And the reason we call it hypnotic sleep is because often clients will show or they will exhibit the symptom of snoring.
Really?
Yes. And
wow.
The only way that we know for sure that they're not actually asleep, but they are still in a state of hypnosis, is that if we were to ask them a question or ask them to subconsciously respond, perhaps with a light nod of the head or something of that sort, then they still respond to our suggestions. If they were actually in a state of sleep, then they would not subconsciously be able to hear us and would not be able to respond. So I have had many clients that do snore, but they still are following my suggestions.
Oh no, it's going to be me. I'm going to snore. Oh God.
And therefore they're in a very deep level of hypnosis.
Okay.
In the lightest level, you're still fully aware of things, everything going on around you. You probably will hear my voice the entire time. As you allow yourself to go into a deeper level, you may start to lose my voice. The conscious mind will wander off. And then you might come back later to my voice and say, oh, she's still talking. I need to continue listening to her. But that is normal because people do not progress down through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then stay there.
Right.
Some only achieve level 1. Some will go down to level 2 or 3, then maybe pop up in the middle of the session back up to 2. So you can go up and down through the levels during a hypnotic session, and that's completely normal.
Okay. What is the subconscious mind, really? I mean, versus the conscious mind.
Sure. The conscious mind makes up about 12% of your brain power. The subconscious is about 88% of your brain power. And it is the more primitive part of your mind that holds all of your emotions. It's where the dreams come from. And it's that part of your mind that I call it, I guess, kind of like the computer. It houses everything we've ever seen, heard, thought, felt. Everything, every experience is in there forever. And so that's why I call it kind of that supercomputer.
Mm-hmm.
The conscious mind holds the ego. It is the analytical part of our mind. It's the part of our mind that has our willpower, that makes our decisions for us, that rationalizes things. And whenever information comes in, we have thoughts, it has to go through the conscious mind first. So I call the conscious mind the gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through that conscious mind before it filters into the subconscious where it's stored indefinitely, forever. So hypnosis is a wonderful tool that we use to access the subconscious mind. But hypnosis is a tool that we use to kind of move the conscious mind out of the way so that it's not analyzing and, you know, using it as a filter. And we can directly get into the subconscious mind and change programs, if you think of it as a computer, change habits, behaviors, into something more positive that's more life-enhancing for you, that's going to make your life better. So getting that conscious mind out of the way is kind of the key, because the subconscious does not analyze. Instead, it accepts everything instantly and accepts everything literally.
So if everyone has a subconscious, does that mean everyone can be hypnotized?
Yes. But not just because you have the subconscious, but everyone can be hypnotized, because all hypnosis is self-hypnosis, and it is a natural ability that you're born with. It's a natural state that you can achieve. And because all hypnosis is self-hypnosis, I cannot make you be hypnotized if you don't want to. I only act as your facilitator, as your guide. But if you're open to the process, yes, everyone can be hypnotized. Because I have clients that say that all the time, well, I don't know, I don't think I can be hypnotized. Well, basically, if you can count from 10 down to 1, if you have enough concentration to listen to my voice, you can be hypnotized.
Right.
The only people that perhaps may not be able to be hypnotized are those that are severely mentally impaired. And that is because they don't have the ability to concentrate for a long enough period of time to even count from 10 down to 1 or listen to my voice.
Right.
But actually those with higher intelligence find that they can go in more easily.
Oh, the word trouble.
No, I'm just kidding.
Kelly gave me a really interesting example of how all of us are in a state of hypnosis at one time or another, pretty much almost every day. She said that if you find yourself driving from point A to point B, and it's a route that you've taken a million times and you know it so well, what might happen is the subconscious takes over because you know the route so well, while your conscious mind is busy thinking about something else. And that's the moment that you find yourself at your destination. You're looking around going, okay, how the hell did I get here? And you're wondering, gosh, did you run any red lights, or did you stop at that stop sign, or what? You don't remember the drive home at all. You just kind of went into automatic pilot. Well, that is a form of hypnosis, probably what she would call stage one. And I asked her a couple other questions as far as what would happen to me. She said, that when I start to answer the questions, there might be a long pause. As far as the snoring thing, you'll hear me breathing really heavily, not quite snoring, but almost. And then you'll hear me speaking. It sounds like I'm either wasted or high on something. My speech is real slow. However, as we progress through the hypnosis session, my speech becomes a little bit more normal, although still pretty slow. So I do apologize for the audio, but I do speak real quietly while under hypnosis, and I try to I'm going to try to amplify that a little bit here with the playback. But what's interesting is that we did go through three separate past life experiences, and the first one was quite interesting, to say the least. Just a couple things to preface before we begin. Number one, obviously I'm already completely, totally out of it. For safety reasons, Kelly decided not to record the actual process of me becoming hypnotized, and thought that, you know, all we needed to listen to was really me being under and answering her questions. Secondly, she does use my real name, Jason. I didn't think I would respond to my blogging handle, which is Phoenix. And thirdly, you'll notice that I speak really slowly. I did delete a lot of the gaps of these pauses. Many times it took me between, you know, 15 to 30 seconds to even reply to what she was saying, which is apparently normal, but I sound like I just got hit over the head with a pipe or something. So, and the next set of questions, we go into my actual first past life experience here.
Looking at the TV screen, tell me, what do you see?
Trees.
You see the trees. Good. And what do the trees look like?
Palm trees.
Palm trees. Good. And when you step back a little further, what else do you see around and beyond the palm trees?
River.
You see a river. Wonderful. And can you hear anything, Jason?
Singing.
You hear singing. Good. Just allowing yourself now to listen to the singing, to the beautiful sounds, allowing it to relax you further and deeper. Can you tell me who or what is singing?
People.
People, you hear people singing. And is it a beautiful song? How does the song and the singing make you feel?
Different.
Makes you feel different?
Now, Kelly didn't catch exactly what I said, but during the playback, I was listening real carefully. I didn't say people were singing, I said the little people were singing. Now, keep in mind, while Kelly is asking me very specific questions, I'm watching these different scenes on a television screen in my mind, and I see myself, I see other people that I'm with, and then I see these people, these little, short, kind of dark-haired people, dancing, covered in paint, acting really crazy. I saw a strange-looking statue, very satanic-looking, and little bones and skulls, and something out of a nightmare, really. And that's what I saw. So it wasn't a pleasant kind of singing. And what I meant by different, I guess, was that they were singing in a very different language. I remember, you know, while being under, thinking it was a different language that these strange little people were singing in. So that kind of paints, I guess, a more accurate picture of really what was going on in my mind as I'm under hypnosis. So as we go forward, we reveal some very specific things about who I am.
And can you see yourself? Can you see your own physical description in this lifetime?
Yes.
Okay, can you describe yourself to me?
Tall.
Tall. Good.
Bearded.
Bearded. So you're a male. Yes?
Yes.
Good. And the color of your skin?
Tan.
Okay. And you said that the singing you can hear, the people singing, makes you feel different. Can you tell me how that makes you feel different?
Strange.
Strange, right? It's not familiar. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me what your purpose is in this life?
Why are you there by the river with the palm trees and the people singing?
Leader.
You're a leader. And can you determine the time period that you're in, Jason?
New world.
You're in the new world. Good. And as a leader in the new world, what is your mission? What is your purpose to do?
I am left in charge.
You've been left in charge in this new world. Okay. And do you know the name of the person in this lifetime? Do you know his name? Say it for me again. Does it start with an H?
Al.
So in this lifetime, I was in a very exotic place with a bunch of strange little people singing. Sounds like I was Willy Wonka in a past life or something. But anyway, I was left in charge, and I could see myself. I saw myself as being quite tall, but that's compared to those little people. I saw myself with a beard. I could feel and even see the metal on my body, like it was armor. I could feel the pain in my feet as I was walking. I just saw lots of flashes, lots of images, and most of them were not very pleasant. Apparently I was left in charge and I made a big mistake, and I saw a lot of bloodshed, very, very graphic, not just men, but women and children as well. And then finally, when she asks me what my name was, the first time I responded, I said it, and she didn't quite get it. You probably didn't even get it at home there, but I said it again, and the name to me sounded like Alvarado. And there is a Spanish conquistador by the name of Pedro Alvarado, I later found out after doing some research. And I took some of the things that, you know, I had seen. I drew some pictures. I wrote down some of some details, and then from there, just started piecing some things together. So, question is, I mean, was I really Pedro Alvarado, the Spanish conquistador, known to be quite ruthless, and in fact, was in charge of 8 specific massacres in which many people, civilians, died? You heard it for yourself, and you can judge for yourself. So there you have it. After that session, I asked Kelly, is it possible that these so-called memories are really just a part of my imagination? And she said, what is your imagination? And I thought about that. What your imagination is basically taking something that you know, a point of reference, and expounding on it, exaggerating it, creating whatever you want out of it. In my case, I really don't have that point of reference. I don't have that background knowledge. I don't know where this stuff comes from. I don't know where these very unpleasant visions and the things that I saw have come from. And to be honest with you, I really don't want to be a person that was responsible for the deaths of many thousands of innocent civilians in South America. You know, like I said before, the personal messages came through, and I definitely paid attention to that. But we've run out of time, unfortunately, and the next episode, episode 8, we will listen to my session, and we go into past life number 2 and past life number 3. So we'll look forward to that here very soon. Again, I want to thank you for listening. Remember to check out the website, www.blazingtalons.com. Do you have an opinion on this? Do you have a suggestion? Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe you yourself want to seek, you know, some sort of past life regression therapy. You can give me a call at 206-339-7125, or you can always email me at phoenix@blazingtalons.com. Thanks again. Take care. Phoenix out.